Two different themes run through these readings: Thanksgiving and a crossing of boundaries. And strangely enough, they're very tied together. So, first of all, the Thanksgiving. Everything we have and everything we are comes from God. It's all gift. It's been given to us by our creation, by the universe having been created and kind of given to us by God. Everything we have. St. Augustine famously said, "The only thing we can claim for our own is our sin. Everything else comes from God." And so when we celebrate liturgy, we are celebrating the gift received from God and the return gift, which is our self-offering along with Christ on the altar. It's the gift and the reception and return of the gift. That's what Christian life is all about. Eucharist, of course, is a Greek word that means thanksgiving, and so we are a Eucharistic people. One of the primary characteristics of the Christian life is gratitude. But that second theme is interesting. Naaman is a Syrian, and he's high up in the authority of that powerful nation. But he has one problem, and that is he's a leper. And leprosy was probably not what we normally think of as leprosy in modern times. It was eczema or psoriasis, any kind of a disease of the skin. And it was considered highly contagious in those days. It turns out it isn't, but it was considered to be that. And so lepers had to stay beyond 15 feet of anybody they met, and they had to carry a bell around so they could warn people to stay away from them. And if you were in any kind of illness, but particularly something as considered as serious as that, then you could never go into the temple precincts, and you were ostracized from the community because you had to keep your distance, even from your own family. And so excommunication, you know, held away from the community, was just a horrible thing that you had to live the rest of your life in that condition. And so when Jesus restores people like that to health, he's restoring them to the community too. Because then they can once again worship in temple, they can once again live with their families, once again, you know, rejoin the community, which was practically everything in that culture. Way more than it is today. Today we experience this kind of individualism that's sort of like, I can take care of myself, I don't need an institution, I don't need the church, I don't need this or that, it's just me and God. It wasn't like that at all in those days. So, Naaman is high up in the authority of the Syrian Empire, and for him to accept the help of some unknown prophet in Israel, which was a nothing nation, and to be asked to wash in the waters of the Jordan, which is just a muddy creek compared to the great rivers in Syria. And so he's really humbling himself. And of course, he's a proud man and he doesn't want to humble himself, but his servants keep, you know, begging him, you know, what do you have to lose? I mean, nothing else has worked. Give this a try. And so he finally does. And on Elisha's part, there's a kind of a pride too. This is a foreigner. This is a Gentile. Why would I want to heal him? And so they both reach out beyond their comfort zone. They both cross some boundaries, geographic, spiritual, cultural boundaries, to help each other. And so when the cure happens, Naaman's flesh becomes like that of a little child. Well, that's not just a physical description of the curing of his skin disease, but it's about rebirth. He plunges seven times into the river. That's water. Now, this is centuries before baptism came into being, but for us Christians who read the whole Bible in the context of Christ, we can't help but think of baptism. He plunges into the river, and baptism is a plunging into the water of life. It's a throwing ourselves into it. And it has that dynamic, active kind of aspect to it. So he plunges into water and he becomes like a little child. He's reborn. And baptism is rebirth. And so in the gospel story, once again about lepers, and once again about a conversion, because the Samaritan, who is non-Jewish, he comes from a culture that is the enemy of Israel, and he's the only one who comes back, but he doesn't just give thanks. He prostrates himself at the knees of Jesus and calls him Lord. This is a conversion story. And then Jesus says, stand up and go. Your faith has saved you. It's salvation. So in other words, this is another kind of baptism, another conversion. In both cases, conversion of Gentiles, conversion of people who are enemies of Israel, and a crossing of boundaries. Okay, Jesus is the crosser of boundaries par excellence. He comes from heaven. He is God. And he crosses the boundary between heaven and earth, and he comes into our lives and takes human flesh. He is the joining. He is the communion between heaven and earth, between divinity and humanity. In his person, everything is joined. And we are all baptized into him. We're not baptized into ourselves by any means. We're baptized into him. We're baptized into that union between divinity and humanity. And so because of that, our destiny is not just to be good people. You know, Catholicism, Christianity is not just about raising up nice people. Hopefully it does that too, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is salvation, being joined to God, to recognize that divine DNA courses through our veins, that we are in Christ joined to God. And so when we celebrate Eucharist, we're not only being grateful for what's been given to us and returning the gift, but we're receiving divinity. When we eat and drink the flesh and blood of Christ here in the Eucharist, we are communing with God. We are sharing divine life, because after all, that's our destiny. Our destiny is not to be nice. Our destiny is to be divine. Ours is a conversion story too. We're always signing ourselves in that baptismal font. We're always recognizing our destiny, our origin in God, and our return to God. We began in God, and we are going to end in God for all eternity.